Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing of the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, the everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, the everlasting doors. The King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. What a wonderful Savior to me. Now, folks, you notice I've stood over on the right side. You bunch of liberals over on the left, God bless you. We'll be praying for you. But it's good to be in God's house again tonight, isn't it? We rejoice in the blessings of those that came to know Christ this morning. It's all because of the Bible. Thank God for the Bible. It tells me who I am. Thank God for the Bible. It tells me where I'm bound. Thank God for the Bible. It makes the way so plain. Thank God for the Bible. It exalts the Savior's name. Well, it's been a wonderful summer. We just returned, my wife and I, from a four-week tour of preaching in four states: Virginia, North Carolina, Tennessee, and West Virginia. Anybody here from West Virginia? Nobody from West. That's one of the most beautiful states in all of the country. We had marvelous, it's my privilege to preach 12 times. We saw folks saved. We saw the churches rejoicing and blessed. And I'm just glad to be home. It's always good to be home. There's no place like home. Now, open your Bible. Oh, by the way, have I told you lately that when we open the Bible opens the mind of God? Let's see what God is thinking about tonight in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 14. As you're finding your place in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 14, I should remind you again, as sure as night follows day and day follows night, God still lives and the Bible is right. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, But the word of the Lord endureth forever. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And I'm glad it's settled right here in this wonderful book. 66 books, 1,189 chapters, more than 34,000 verses, more than 700,000 words. And every sound, every syllable, every sentence, every verse, every chapter is inspired by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to read to you from this inspired word, 2 Chronicles, chapter number 14. I shall read from verse 1 down through verse number 8. I hope you have your Bible open. I hope you'll follow silently as I read these verses from 2 Chronicles, chapter number 14, after I pray. Would you pray with me? Our Father, we're indeed grateful for this hour and this opportunity. We're thankful for the music that's already challenged and blessed our hearts. We're thankful for this great Sunday night congregation. And so many churches are closing their doors. So many churches are just calling it quits. I thank you that Worth Baptist Church is still on the firing line. And that souls are being saved weekly and baptized. Thank you for all that you have done and are doing and will do in this hour. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we offer this prayer with thanksgiving. Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verse number 1. So Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. And Asa his son reigned in his stead. In his days the land was quiet 10 years. And Asa did that which was good and right. Please note that, good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. For he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places and brake down the images and cut down the groves and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandments. And he took away out of all the cities of Judah, the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. And he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest, and he had no war in those years, because the Lord had given him rest. Therefore, he said unto Judah, let us build these cities, and make about them walls and towers and gates and bars while the land is yet before us. Because we have sought the Lord our God, we have sought him, and he hath given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. And Asa had an army of men that bare targets and spears out of Judah 300,000, and out of Benjamin that bare shields and drew bows 280,000. All these were men of valor. Ladies and gentlemen, the story of King Asa is an unusual and fascinating, intriguing story. I read it and rejoice. It's the story of a young man who overcame a lurid family environment to become a great king and a religious leader, righteous leader in the kingdom of Judah. In spite of the fact that he was brought up in an ungodly home, he learned to do right, and he made something of himself. In my more than 62 years of ministry, I've seen that happen over and over again and again. Here comes a young man out of a drunkard's home, and he gets saved, and God calls him to preach, and he goes off to Bible college, and he goes out and builds a great church, a witness, a testimony to the grace of God. That's happened over and over and over again and again. Can I encourage you, young people? Some of you tonight may be coming out of a home that's broken. Don't give up. Look up. Don't say, I can't. Say, I can by the grace of God. And I will, by the grace of God, do what He wants me to do. Asa's father was a vile, sinful man. You'll read in 1 Kings chapter 15 at verse 3, he walked in all the sins of his father, and his heart was not perfect before God. By the way, the word Asa means physician, and he became a doctor to his people in Judah. I see in that a type of Jesus Christ, our great physician. The great physician now is near. The sympathizing Jesus, He speaks the drooping heart to cheer. Oh, hear the voice of Jesus. Sweetest note in seventh song, sweetest carol ever sung, sweetest name on mortal tongue, Jesus, precious Jesus. I've entitled this message, Doing the Right Thing. Remember, the Bible says that Asa did the right thing. And I'm going to point out several areas in which he did the right thing. I hope that you'll follow them closely. Number one, King Asa did the right thing in destroying the altars of Judah's pagan kings. Look with me again in verse number 3. For he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places and break down the images and cut down the groves. I'm convinced, ladies and gentlemen, that King Asa was familiar with Exodus chapter 20. By the way, you ought to get familiar with the books of the Bible. You ought to get familiar with the content of the Bible. Read it and reread it and hide it in your heart day by day. Listen, the hour is coming. Hear me when I say it. Your printed book may be confiscated, but they can't take it out of your heart. They can't take it out of your mind. Put it in your heart. Put it in your mind. Live by it and be ready to die by it. Here's what is written in Exodus 20. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Now watch this. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. May I have a word of caution to you fathers here tonight? Can I tell you that you ought to live the right kind of example before your children? Can I tell you that you ought to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Can I tell you that they ought to see in you the hero that they want to be? Amen. Following your footsteps, Daddy. Doesn't matter whether in the cradle, in the nursery, or they're in the junior high or senior high or wherever they are. Daddy, don't expect your children to come out smelling like roses if you're eating onions and garlic. It just won't happen. Deuteronomy 6:4 says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. There are not two gods. Allah is not our God. Our God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God of Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's our God and we have no other. Mohammed is not our Savior. Jesus is our Savior. We don't have any other Savior. God is a jealous God, ladies and gentlemen. He will not play second fiddle to the gods of this world or to the fanciful dreams of your greatness and grandeur. King Asa did the right thing in destroying the altars of the pagan kings. I notice in the second place, King Asa did the right thing in commanding his people to seek God. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if we had a leader in our nation that told people, you ought to seek God. We don't seek after the religion of Islam. We seek Christianity and Christ. And there ought to be a voice of authority in America that could stand up and say, this is the way. Somebody said, well, we don't believe in mixing church and state. That's not mixing church and state. I hope people will learn what the meaning of that is. It's never mentioned in the Constitution, by the way. But it's just saying that government cannot establish our religion. The government cannot interfere with our religion. We don't need the government in our religion. We've got them in too many places now. Let's get the government out of our pockets and out of our homes and out of our churches and out of our schools and go the way of the Lord. He commanded them to seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Verse 4, he commanded Judah. Now there are four things to keep in mind as you seek God. Would you make a note of these in your mind at least? Number one, seek Him first. That's what Jesus said. Here I go. I'm quoting Jesus again, folks. I love to quote Jesus. He said in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first. By the way, did you know that not but one thing can be first in your life? You can put 10,000 zeros behind it, but only one, number one. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Secondly, you must seek Him wholeheartedly. God said, here I go quoting God, I love to quote God too. He said in Jeremiah 29:13, and ye shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Number three, you must seek Him before all else. I'm going back to the greatest authority the world has ever known. His name is Jesus Christ. He said in Matthew 10:37-38, he that loveth father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son and daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Ladies and gentlemen, could I encourage you, admonish you to live in the shadow of the cross? Listen, folks, if we don't keep the cross at the center, something else will come at the center. It's happened before. It'll happen again. Number four, the fourth thing. Seek Him now. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Isaiah 55:6-7 puts it this way. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Not just pardon, but abundantly. You know, God doesn't stop just forgiving us our sins. He takes it up to a level higher. He pardons us. You see, you can be forgiven of whatever crime you may commit against this state. But the record will still show your crime. But if the governor pardons you, guess what? The record is wiped clean. You no longer have those sins listed against you. Isn't that wonderful? Why make a foot washer shout? Go ahead and say, wow, brother. He takes you to another level. He not only forgives and pardons, but He justifies. Let me tell you what that means. I know you already know, but I'm going to remind you. It means as if we had never been sinners. Can you imagine standing before a holy God as though you had never been a sinner, cleansed by the blood, washed in the blood, sanctified, glorified, hallelujah. What a wonderful, wonderful Savior. And what a great salvation we have. Forgiven, pardoned, and justified. Number three. King Asa did the right thing in getting rid of the idols and images. Look again at verse number five. And he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. In 1 Kings chapter 15 at verse 11, the Bible says, "And Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did David his father." And watch this now. "And he took away the Sodomites out of the land, and removed all the idols that his fathers had made." Notice he got rid of the Sodomites. Ladies and gentlemen, homosexuality is not an acceptable lifestyle. It is an abomination in the sight of God. Now I'm going to give you some plain words now, but they're not mine. If they were mine, I might want to apologize for them, but they're not mine. God's inspired word, and here's what he says about it, Leviticus 18:22. "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination." Who is it that doesn't understand that? Well, if you don't understand that, maybe you'll understand Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 13. "If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed abomination, they shall surely be put to death. And their blood shall be upon them." If you know anything about the Third Reich and Germany and Hitler, you know that same-sex marriage and homosexuality were rampant in Germany. Same-sex marriage, ladies and gentlemen, flies into the face of a righteous God. It is an insult to God. You see, God set the pattern in the Garden of Eden when he brought the first man and the first woman, Adam and Eve, in holy matrimony. That's God's pattern. It cannot be improved upon. It must not be changed or challenged or circumvented. It's God's program. And we must follow what God has given us. Listen. God brought Germany down. And Hitler bit the dust. Though he had mesmerized many thousands of people, and they did exactly what he said to. And you know those men that executed those Jews, 6 million of them, plus other nationalities, they didn't think they were breaking a law because Hitler said the Jew is non-human. If you kill a non-human, you're not murdering. You're not killing anybody. So they had their Holocaust. And ladies and gentlemen, could I tell you, in America, we have our silent Holocaust. When every year 1 million babies are aborted, murdered, killed outright. What a shame. Dr. David Gibbs wrote this. "On June the 26th, 2013, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that same-sex marriages are protected by the Fifth Amendment to the United States Constitution when it held a portion of the Federal Defense of Marriage Act to be unconstitutional. Thus," Gibbs went on to write, "same-sex marriage is now the law of the land." What a terrible day it was when the President of the United States went on television, national television, and put his sanction upon same-sex marriage. Listen, God brought Germany down. God's going to bring America down. God's already begun to bring America down. The shades of judgment are already on us. And the worst is yet to come. May God help us. If we ever needed to pray for America, it's now. We do not well, ladies and gentlemen, to destroy the altars and keep the idols. It is not enough to stop doing wrong things. We must start doing right things. 1 Thessalonians 1:9 says, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you." Now watch this. "And how ye turned from idols to serve the living and true God." King Asa did right in the fourth place in building fenced cities in Judah. Verses 6 and 7 tell us, "And he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest, and he had no wars in those years, because the Lord had given him rest. Therefore he said unto Judah, let us build these cities and make about them walls and towers and gates and bars while the land is before us. Because we have sought the Lord our God, we have sought him, and he hath given us rest on every side. So they built, verse 7 says, they built and prospered. Fenced cities, ladies and gentlemen, will keep the enemies out. And I say to you tonight, we need to do some fence building around our lives to keep Satan out of our homes and out of our families. I would recommend that we build the fence of love one for another. If Christians ought to practice anything, it ought to be love one for another. Let me give you what Jesus said about it. Here I go quoting Jesus again. He said in John 13, 34 and 35, a new commandment I give unto you, now watch it, that ye love one another. As I have loved you, that ye love one another. Now, don't miss this. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. There ought to be the fence of the family altar. Now, I know what people have said to me, well, now, preacher, you just don't understand our schedule. We just don't have time. The kids go this way, and I go this way, and mama goes this way. We just don't have time. Well, I'm going to give you something to help you have time. Are you ready for this? Unplug the television. Cut off the computer. Hang up the phone. Park the car. Dock the boat. You will have some time for God. And if you don't take time for God right now, you're going to be sorry when your children get a little bit older and start sassing you and saying, look, you didn't pray for me. Why do you want me to pray? No, no, no. Don't let that happen to you. Bring them up in the fear and in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Parents, listen. Keep your children close to this altar. There's not a more beautiful scene in all the world and for family, mother and daddy and children to gather around the altar and pray. Some of the fondest memories I have of growing up in a preacher's home was when my daddy gathered us all around. 9 children. Opened the Bible. Read a few verses. Said a prayer. Called every one of our names in prayer and asked God to watch over us. You know, God's done just that. God hears and answers prayers. God honors the prayer of a father who will pray for his children. Get the family altar going now. Third fence, parental authority. Wow, we've lost it in America. A wise man once said, I don't remember who it was, it may have been me. Everything in the modern home is run by a switch but the children. Now let me give you something very plain and maybe harsh for you to take, but it's right out of God's Word. Proverbs 19:18 says, chasten thy son while there is hope. There'll be a day when there won't be any hope. It's better to pray with them while you have them than to pray for them when you don't have them. Pray with them. Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. Proverbs 23:13 says, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with a rod, that's not an iron rod like this, it's a piece of wood, like Aaron's wood that budded, the branch. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with a switch, the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with a rod, that is, with a switch, and shall deliver his soul from hell. Wow. Proverbs 13:24 says, he that spareth his rod hateth his son. Did you get that? Folks, I didn't write this. I'm just reading. I'm not in management. I'm in sales. Here's what it says. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes, that is often. classic example of parental authority was Abraham. Genesis 18 and verse 19, God said about Abraham, I hope he can say that about every father in this room, for I know him, that he will command his children. By the way, that command is a military term. Does that mean that Abraham had a saber on his side? No. He wasn't going around with a bull whip. He wasn't going around with a six-shooter. He just used the authority that God gave him. That's all you need tonight, Father, is the authority that God has given you. I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. Now think with me for a moment. If Abraham had not corrected his children and disciplined his children, I gather from what I just read you that the blessings of God would not have come upon Abraham. It says that the things that the Lord spoke of him would come to pass in his life. Walls, verse 7, towers, gates, bars, they're all defensive instruments to guard against the invasion of the enemy. Aren't you glad what Isaiah 59:19 says? When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Something else that King Asa did. He did right in organizing an army of dedicated men. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, God does not bless machines. God does not bless movements. God blesses men. Verse 8 says, and Asa had an army of men that bear targets and spears, out of Judah 300,000, out of Benjamin that bear shields and drew bows 280,000. All these were mighty men of valor. Wow. 580,000 men. They had offensive weapons. They had spears and swords and shields and bows and arrows. You know we have an offensive weapon? It's right here in this book. This is our weapon. It's the sword of the Spirit. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Ladies and gentlemen, when the king did what was right, the people enjoyed the blessings of God. When you get home tonight, go back and read verses 1 through 7 in my text and mark the times that the word peace and rest are mentioned. 5 times. And then verse 7 says, so they built and prospered. Can I tell you, my friend, that our peace and prosperity are dependent upon our doing the right things in our lives? Listen, one man's faith attracted 580,000 men. We attract others too when we're faithful in doing the right thing. I make bold to tell you, it pays to do the right thing. It pays to serve Jesus. It pays every day. It pays every step of the way. Though the pathway to glory may sometimes be drear, you'll be happy each step of the way. Aren't you glad you've been forgiven? pardoned, justified. There was a time on earth when in the books of heaven an old account was standing of sins yet unforgiven. My name was at the top and many things below. I went unto the keeper and settled it long ago. Long ago, down on my knees, I settled it all, and the record's clear today, for he washed my sins away when the old account was settled long ago. Aren't you glad the account's settled? Paid in full. Listen, I've told you before, let me tell you again, maybe my last chance. Jesus did not put a down payment on your sin debt and expect you to pay out the installments. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Washed in the blood. You know what? Jesus is calling tonight. There are fathers in this room that Jesus is calling to come and dedicate your family and your home and your children and your life to God. God's calling mothers to join the fathers. Listen, God is calling young people. Young people, let me say again to you, put God first in your life. There are many allurements, enticements, temptations out there in the world, but you'll be glad when you get my age. I'll be 81 tomorrow. Woo! I know I don't look it, but if you got it, flaunt it. Young people, hear me when I say it. You'll be happy. You'll be glad. You'll be thankful as you grow older that you put Jesus first in your life while you were still young. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. You'll find pleasure in them if you put Jesus first in your life. Tonight. Let's stand, please, for our prayer. Everyone standing. Heads are bowed. Altars open. Invitations have begun. Jesus is calling. Tenderly calling. Softly and tenderly. Jesus is calling. Daddy, he's calling you. You say, but preacher, I've already been to the altar. That's all right if you've been to the altar. Go again. It won't hurt you. Bring the family. Bring the little children. Bring the young people. Thank God for our youth leaders. God bless you, Brother Jarrett, and those folks that work with you. What an awesome job. But you're doing a great job. And they're coming up in the right way. Thank God for the young people who have their lives on the altar. Daddies, mothers, young people, children, grandma, grandpa. Softly and tenderly. Jesus is calling. Let's sing it, Brother Johnson.